Chapter 2. I definitely want you to get by his table. I want you to talk to him. And I want you to look at this. One of the things that stood out for me about Brother Jim and his wife was the fact that they found themselves retired. And they recognized that God gave them everything. And they said, what would you have me do with what you've given me? They also have a brochure there about estate planning. Because the truth is your kids are just going to fight over it anyhow. No, I'm just kidding. But it's true. You only got one. But the truth is, if God gave it to you, he gave it to you for a reason. I couldn't say it any better than that. So seek the Lord. Seek the Lord with it. That's what Brother Jim and Miss Lois have done. They took their business sense and their business savvy, and now they're helping churches start by having their own place. Take your Bible, go to Galatians chapter 2. We are in our series called Free in Christ. And we're talking about how the Galatian church had this controversy where the Judaizers had come in and said, if you don't follow the feast, if you don't get circumcised, you will not go to heaven. And you and I both know that salvation is only provided by grace through faith, not plus works, plus baptism, plus all these other things. It's what's Christ's work on the cross credited to our account at the moment we believe. And so he had to refute them in chapter number 1. Remember, he had talked about the another gospel and how that was wrong. And then he showed how he himself was the greatest witness was the fact that Paul had changed. He went from being a persecutor of the church and Christians to the one who was preaching the truth. And then in chapter 2 and in verse 1 through 10, he accentuated the idea that you and I serve the same God that the apostle Peter served. We serve the same God that David served. We serve the same God that split the Red Sea with Moses. We serve the same God that made the sun stand still when Joshua was battling. We serve the same God. And we should start praying like that. But there's an altercation with Peter in verse number 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Paul comes to Peter and he says, look, you didn't have a problem associating with Gentile believers until the Jews came down from Jerusalem. And now you don't want to hang out with them anymore. What happened? What happened, Peter? What happened? It's kind of like mopeds. You ever ride a moped? Mopeds are fun. Until your best friend sees you and starts to ridicule you. You know, whatever God told you about him and your walk with him, if your lost friends or if your friends start to ridicule you, are you going to change the way you behave? You know, if it was right according to the Bible when God gave it to you, are you going to change just because you're back home and wherever God brought you from? I mean, how would you feel? If I, you know, I go back to Illinois to visit, God forbid, but if I ever do, and I'm back home at Christmas time and I start acting like I used to when I lived in Illinois, what would you think? Do you change your behavior based on who you're around? Do you kind of restrain? Now, I understand some y'all work in the private sector, or in government work or in the military. I understand when you're on the job, you're not there to proselytize. I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when you're around certain people, do you be sure and not say anything about Christ, even if he prompts you to do so? Because, well, I don't want to offend my friend. I don't want them to think I'm a holy roller. I don't want them to think I'm in a cult. Do you change your behavior? Now, in verse 11, Paul confronts him. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Hold on a minute. This is the guy who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. But you know what? I don't care how long you've been walking with God, we still make mistakes. Sometimes we allow ourselves to get fearful. Praise the Lord, I was sharing with a brother tonight. I don't get panic attacks. I don't get anxiety. Some people are plagued with them, and they're real, and I'm not making light of them at all. But I know that when I start to feel a little anxiety, I think to myself, what am I in trouble for? I know I have to ask myself, am I in sin? Did I do something wrong? And things of that nature. But I have to remember, wait a minute, I am a conqueror in Christ because Christ gives me the victory. And I, you know, it doesn't matter how long I've walked with God. If I don't pay attention to my walk with God and my walk with the people around me, I'll fall into sin too. It doesn't matter how long you've walked with God. You're still just as susceptible to sin. So Peter, even though he'd walked with Christ, yes, I know he denied Christ. But I want you to understand that Jesus said, listen, when you're converted, I want you to strengthen your brethren. Your brethren are going to look to you for strength. They're going to look to you. Now, he deserved it. He had done wrong. His conduct was doing injury to the faith, the truth of the gospel. Him deciding, look, I don't want to associate with Gentiles because these guys that came down from Jerusalem, they're going to think that I've somehow compromised if I hang out with Gentiles. His conduct was doing injury to Gentile believers. And Paul was swift in his rebuke, definite action. Now, the scripture mandates that we rebuke those that do this. It says in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, I'm not being mean when I call out sin or I call out error. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Actually, in the church, the Bible says, 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin rebuke before all that others also may fear. It's a painful truth. None of us like the idea, but church discipline is real. It was given to us by God, and it is to be exercised for the benefit of the body. None of us like it, but it's for the purpose of restoration. How do you respond when you're corrected? And you think, I know what you're thinking. It depends who's doing the correcting. If they've got more brass on their lapel than I've got, I stand there and I take it. If it's constructive criticism by a peer, that's another situation. If it's a helpful suggestion by a subordinate, I handle it differently. If it comes from that lady that's married to me, it's different. How do you respond? Do you know what stiff-neckedness is? When you bow up, somebody corrects you and you're like, you get like a bullfrog and you make this threat display where you bow up like a bullfrog and you're just, I'm not going to listen, I'm not going to change. There are 7 signs you need to check your neck for. You're always certain you're right. You're stiff-necked if you're positive you are personally always right. Number 2, you refuse to listen to anyone else. Better check your neck. Defensive when you're criticized. Make excuses for shortcomings. Or lash out at others. This happens all the time. I'll have 2 guys come in. They both want counsel for the same sin. One of them is broken, brokenhearted, weeping. I mean, going through the tissues because they know they've sinned. They know it's sin. Second guy comes in. He's like, I don't know what the big deal is. You know, this isn't really my fault. I didn't do this. This is because of so-and-so. And I just needed to blow off some steam. Number 6, no desire to examine your own life. Better check your neck. You have a repeated pattern of misbehavior. That's stiff-neckedness. It's all based in pride. Number 7, you pray, but you don't ever actually repent. Now, Peter accepts this rebuke, and a good man is willing to admit when they make a mistake. And true humility will submit to correction. Verse 12. For before certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Didn't see a problem with it. Rejoiced in the fact he was the first one to lead a Gentile to the Lord ever. He led Cornelius and his entire household to the Lord. First Gentile to ever get saved. But when they were come, now who are they? These are Jews from the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. These are the ones that were hanging out with Jesus' half-brother James. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Why? Now listen, you need to let this sink in for a second. It's the same reason why you don't witness. It's because the same reason I don't witness sometimes, is because we're afraid of what they think of us. I want to free you from that mess. I want to release you from that stress. I want you to understand, don't worry about what they think of you. They're too busy thinking of themselves to think of you. You don't come into their thoughts at all unless you're in their way. That's how lost people are. You're a nuisance. You're in their way. You don't move fast enough. You don't drive fast enough. You don't do anything the way they would do it, or otherwise you'd be just like them. Truthfully, they don't think of you. They're too busy thinking of themselves. Be free from that mess, that bondage. But understand, why was Peter changing his behavior? We're talking about the apostle Peter who walked on water. And if it can happen to him, it can happen to us. Brothers and sisters, please. Don't change the way you behave because you want to please your friends. And certainly don't change your behavior to please Pastor Mix. Behave in a way that pleases the Lord. And the one thing that you can all, when you say, well, I don't always know how to behave. Being kind, courteous, and loving is appropriate in every situation. Why change, Peter? Why did you do that? Having respect of persons, meaning I care what this person thinks, but I don't care what that person thinks. You say, well, that didn't happen. Yes, it did. Peter said, I care what these Jews from Jerusalem think more than I care about these Gentile believers who are still getting their feet under them spiritually. It's true. These Gentiles came out of paganism where everything was a drunken mess party. That's true. 1 Corinthians 11, the church at Corinth was a wreck. And when they didn't know how to worship God other than, well, like with Bacchus, the wine god. They would drink till they puked and called that an offering and drink some more and puke. And that's how they worshiped Bacchus. Well, they didn't know how to worship Jehovah God. So they brought that mindset, that mess into the church. Okay? They just needed to be taught. But to separate himself, but Peter's like, I can't be seen hanging out with you guys. You guys, that's wrong. That is wrong. You know why that is? Because the fear of man bringeth a snare. Proverbs 29:25. Are you afraid of what people think? Well, not some people. Some people, you don't care what they think. Some people, they don't know you. Some people are just naturally bent in such a way that they wouldn't be happy if you hung them with a new rope. I mean, it's just, you know. Was it Lincoln who said, if you want to have insanity, try to please everybody all the time? Isn't that what that is? You can't please people. But you can please the Lord. And I'm going to spend a whole lot more time with Jesus in eternity than I am some folks on this planet. Now, that doesn't mean I have the right to be mean. Every soul needs the gospel. I don't care who they are, where they come from, what they look like, doesn't matter. They deserve the gospel because somebody gave it to me and I wasn't worthy and I wasn't deserving. But to change my behavior and say, I mean, seriously, how much you got to hate somebody not to give them the gospel? How much you got to hate them? Well, you know, nothing. You just... let the things of the day overtake you. Or you let a cowardly attitude or the fear overtake you. Now, the scary thing is Peter had influenced people for good and he had influenced people poorly. In Luke 22, waiting John 21, when waiting for Jesus and Jesus didn't show up like Peter thought, Peter went, I go a fishing. Fooey, I'm going to go fish. Six other disciples, he was supposed to stay where he was. He was supposed to stay in Jerusalem until he was endued with power. But in John 21, Peter's like, phooey, I'm going to go back to fishing. I'm done. This is crazy. I'm sitting here doing nothing. Jesus hasn't showed up on my timetable. Six other apostles went with him. Peter was hurting the faith by changing the way he behaved, thinking, I need the respect. You know what? There are people who are not going to support Pedro Morales because I have a box up here. There are churches who are going to check out our service who aren't going to appreciate that I have a teenage girl with an electric guitar on Sunday morning. They are not our friends. But they that are not against, they're not my enemies. They're going to minister the way God expresses his righteousness through them. But I have given up on trying to please the brethren. You realize a lost soul that's playing tennis across the street right now could care less whether I have a drum box or an electric guitar. They could care less. They're going to hell. And if we don't get over ourselves and our preconceived ideas on how things ought to be and are concerned about what other people think, they're going to go to hell and it's going to be our fault. They will have walked through the blood and stepped over the slain body of Jesus because of our indifference. It doesn't matter. They don't care which Bible I preach out of. They don't care which hymn book I sing out of. They don't care. They're going to die and go to hell without the gospel. The last thing First Baptist Church of Kingstown needs to do is to stop trying to reach people because we're concerned what others might think of us. You know, there's some folks in this neighborhood who do not have even 1 cent worth of value for a church in their neighborhood. Would just as soon this thing burned down and they planted townhomes. But that's because they're lost. You can't change your behavior because you're afraid the truth will offend. Now, you don't have to shove it down their throat. And you can be kind. But Jesus never drank to reach the drunk. He never drugged to reach the druggies. He never slept with horse to reach the horse. He never changed his behavior to suit the people around him. He wanted to please his Father. Now, you and I must have the Bible as our foundation. If we're going to have true unity, then this book is your foundational truth statement. Not me, because I get it wrong. I make mistakes. You hang out with me for 24 hours, I'm going to let you down. I'm not perfect. But you know what? This is. So we need to structure our lives that it please the Lord, because otherwise it's hypocrisy. Look at the inconsistency of Peter's position. Look at verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? If you don't live by the letter of the law anymore, why are you making them? Because the next verse says, we who are actually Jews, racially, by blood, descendants of Abraham, if we've given up on having to keep all the different minutiae of the law to get to heaven, realizing it's grace, why do we make these poor Gentiles who don't know no better try to do the same thing? You realize that's why there's no dress code at First Baptist Church of Kingstown. Because it doesn't matter what you dress like. You understand that, right? It's okay if somebody wears flip-flops and a t-shirt and shorts because it's not about what's on the outside. Their outside's not going to heaven. It's the inside. It's their soul. You start making preferences, doctrines, souls are going to end up in hell. See, we teach the truth and we love people. Even if they don't like us, we love them. Because when we were enemies with God, he loved us. Romans 5, chapter 5 and verse 8. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Peter, he had a moment here where he let his fears get in the way of people and their soul. Don't do that. Don't do that. You say, well, I don't have my whole life put together, you know, and some of my areas are kind of mess. Everybody's messy. Jesus isn't looking for perfection. But you know, if you'll structure your life so it pleases him, everybody else will be all right. Peter compromised the truth. Listen, the ends never justify the means. And circumstances prompted Peter to compromise. You know, your coworkers and your family are watching to see if this Jesus thing is a fad. If it's going to wear off sometime. You know, like we all got, how many of you, well, anyway, I don't want to say that online, but I mean, how many of you ever been in a network marketing business? You get excited, buddy, you get hot, you start to put together your network and everything's going great, and some people have made a killing at it. And I'm not saying they're dishonest. I'm saying some people have. Some people have done well. It's their thing. It's not mine. But it wore off. But you called everybody in your list, didn't you? And now it stopped. What do they think of that? They're waiting to see if your walk with Jesus is just something you're going through right now. Peter made a mistake. One I'm sure he's repented of and sorry about. He's in heaven now. But you and I need to live to please the Lord, not the people around us. You know, like I said, they're too busy thinking about themselves to think about you. So why waste the emotional currency and just please the Lord? As Brother Jim said tonight, Christians are called Christians because they're supposed to be Christ-like. And at Antioch, they were, and that's where the name was given them. And Peter wrote later on in his epistles, it's better that you and I suffer for Christ's name's sake than if we suffered as an evildoer. It'd be better that people broke fellowship with us. You know, I didn't have to get rid of any of my friends when I got saved. They stopped hanging out with me, even though I pursued them. I didn't have to run anybody off. They just stopped coming around. Even though I gave them the gospel, even though I loved them, even though I was kind, even though I didn't care about their lifestyle, I wanted them to know the truth. Even though Peter got it wrong in this point, he got it right later. And tonight, if you've caught yourself changing the way you behave, what you value based on who you're around, God loves you. Confess it to him, repent of it, and just live to please him. And God will use you as a better witness than you ever dreamed. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the testimony of Peter. And Father, every one of us have made mistakes. Although Peter's has been written down in Scripture for eternity, oh, my soul, Father, I am thankful that our mistakes are known mostly just to us and you. Father, let us not get too big for our britches. Let us not think too highly of ourselves that we get concerned about compromising the truth so that people will like us. Father, help us to just live to please you. And through us, God, that we'll be the best witness possible. Because they'll see you, they'll hear you, they'll hear your words, they'll feel your love, they'll feel your compassion. And Father, may you glorify yourself through us in a way that you always get the credit. And tonight, Father, as we go our separate ways, we ask that you would bless us And Father, use us for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. As the music begins to play, the altar is open. If you need to pray, if you need to talk to somebody, I'm here. Brother Phil, if you'll play some music. If you died tonight and you're not sure heaven's your home, God wants to save your soul. God wants to show you how much he loves you by how he gave his son on the cross. I'll show you in the Bible if you'll come and pray with me. As the music plays, won't you seek the Lord tonight? The only person you have to please is Christ. Let him be your Lord. As often as we mess up, if we'll just go to him and confess and repent, He forgives. He restores. Our Heavenly Father, tonight as we leave, we're excited about Easter. We're thankful tonight, God, that we remember the sacrifice of our Savior. For it is He that we desire to please. And Father, as many times as we fail, we know you stand waiting to restore us and take us back. Father, please, as we go from here tonight, let us tell the story of Calvary to someone this week. We ask, God, that all of the flyers we've sent out and handed out would bear fruit for your glory. And Father, as only you can, move in such a way that souls are saved and lives are changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, man. Look this way. I'm going to ask